What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the First Team All-Pro Podcast. And today's episode is going to be a little different. Obviously, football's back. We're going to be talking about that for a while. So for the next like 16 weeks. So there'll be plenty of more football dedicated episodes coming around, as well as NBA and NHL, considering those two seasons start up soon as well. But let's go to baseball for a second. This episode, and I really, really don't like just talking about one particular team in these episodes, but I think this needs to be addressed. What in the world is going on with the Yankees right now? I mean, I don't know what's going on. I mean, they're 2-8. In their last 10 games, well, basically 2-9 after last night. They're on the verge of getting swept by the Blue Jays. And the fact of the matter is, this is September. You really can't afford, especially when you're holding a wild card spot, you really can't afford to go into a slump right now. And to make matters worse, the Blue Jays are right behind them. They're basically like two games back, not even. They're like a game and a half back. And give credit, the Blue Jays offense and their defense, they've been playing well this last stretch of games. They're like 9-1 in their last 10 games. You got to give them credit. I mean, look at that first game against the Yankees. It was an 8-0 shutout. The Yankees offense couldn't get anything going. I mean, Hyunjin Ryu, 6 innings pitched, 3 hits. 3 hits allowed, 6 strikeouts. He basically shut the entire Yankees offense down in those 6 innings, and that was enough to get it done. Because let's face it, the Yankees could not do anything in that first game of this 4-game set. The Yankees had 5 hits that game and had committed 3 errors. 3 errors. So, like, it's... And then on top of that, the Yankees only score 1 run in the second game. And then, yeah, it was cool to see Brett Gardner hit a 3-run home run the other day. But then the Yankees go up and they tie the game. And then in the 7th, I believe, Toronto takes the lead 4-3. And then, of course, it was 5-3 off a single or an RBI single, I think. And then, of course, who do you expect to absolutely destroy the ball? Vlad Guerrero Jr. comes up to the plate and absolutely destroys the living seams off the baseball. And then that should come as no surprise. I mean, look at their lineup. Marcus Semien, who's been having an unbelievable season. Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's been having an unbelievable season. Bo Bichette, Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Alejandro Kirk, who had a couple of big hits against the Yankees this series. It shouldn't really surprise you, but just the way the Yankees have been playing, like, how do you recover from that? Like seriously, I would say it can't get worse, but it might end up getting worse, because here's the thing. The Yankees play the Mets next. The Yankees play the Mets for a 3-game set there. And they're not going to be easy either. You know, despite what their record says, like, I can't even see their record right now, but let's see. They're 70-70. Despite what their record says, they still pose a threat to the Yankees' playoff chances. They still do. I mean, say what you want, but the Yankees have not exactly been playing the best baseball. No, not even not exactly. They haven't been playing their best baseball in the last, like, 2 weeks. Like, it was a complete 360-degree rotation or 180-degree rotation. I don't know. They went from going on a 13-game winning streak 13-game winning streak to now basically losing like 5 in a row. It's bad. It's looking pretty bad right now. Not gonna lie. I can't lie to you. And let's check out the wild card standings. And of course, the Yankees losing to the Blue Jays the other night. You know, that allowed the Red Sox to leapfrog them in the standings. Not just in the AL East standings, but in the wild card standings. Now the Red Sox, I believe, have a half game up on the Yankees right now. And the thing is, the Yankees, there's not much room for, the bottom line is this, there's not much room for error for the Yankees throughout the rest of the season. Because here's who's chasing them in the wild card standings. Toronto, Seattle, and Oakland. And this is the second wild card spot they're trying to hold on to at this point. Let's see. Yeah. I got the wild card standings right here. Boston obviously holds the first wild card spot. Then the Yankees. Then Toronto, who's a game and a half back. Then Seattle, 2.5 games back. And then Oakland, 3 games back. And that's not a large difference. Those teams can easily leapfrog the Yankees the way the Yankees are playing right now. I mean, let's be real. I mean, come on. The Yankees hitting has not been there the last 2 weeks. After that 13-game winning streak, I don't know what happened. I mean, and on top of that, when you lose to the Orioles, and I know a lot of people make fun of the Orioles and all that, because they're dead last in the AL East, but no excuses. Like, you good teams beat up on bad opponents. They beat up on bad opponents, especially in crunch time, and they haven't done that. The first two games of that series versus the Orioles, they couldn't score more than four runs. They won the first game 4-3 barely, and then they lost 4-3, and then in the closing game of that series, they lost 8-7. And it also didn't help that they lost to the Angels and the A's prior to the series. So this 13 game winning streak, I don't know how to put it. But they went from playing their best baseball all season, and I can say that with a fact. I could say that as an absolute fact. That 13-game winning streak marked the best baseball they've played all year. All year. And now, on a 5 or 6-game losing streak right now, especially when you got big series coming up, you know, I'm not saying it's not over, but that series against Toronto was a killer. The Yankees already lost that series as of last night, so there's no chance to win it. A loss today would be even more humiliating, because then the Jays are basically a half game back of that second wild card spot. And then let's check the rest of the Yankees schedule. They go to Citi Field, 3-game set with the Mets. They have a 1-game against the Twins, which I think was the game that got canceled way back in, I think, the end of July or early August. And then they play Baltimore at Baltimore, then Cleveland, Texas, and then Boston one more time, and then Boston and Toronto one more time. And then, of course, Tampa, all AL East opponents right there. And those are huge series right there. Those last three series matchups that I just mentioned, those are all must wins. Those are all must wins. Basically, every series from here on out is a must win. A split, not really going to help. Losing the series, definitely not helping. All of these series from here on out are must wins. Whether it's taking 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, or completing the sweep of a series, which the way the Yankees have been playing right now, I don't think a sweep is possible, at least in some of these series. But I just don't know how to feel right now. I was I was enjoying, you know, normally I could wake over that 13 game winning streak. I could wake up. I woke up. I'd watch those games always. You know, I could go to sleep knowing the Yankees aren't going to give me a heart attack. And now I just don't know how to feel. I mean, it just reminds me of the first half Yankees. I mean, completely flustered, playing down to opponents they should be beating out right now. And yeah, I say playing down because that's exactly what they have been doing. If you've been watching those games, the recent skid, the amount of errors they've been piling up in the last couple of games is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and to make things even worse, I think 2 days ago, I think the second game of that Yankees-Blue Jays series, Gerrit Cole came out of the game and he was hurt. So that makes it even worse. The Yankees star ace got hurt. So that makes things even worse for the Yankees right now, because let's face it. I mean, Gerrit Cole has without a doubt been the best pitcher for the Yankees all season. And of course, when Luis Gil came up, he's been performing very well as well for the Yankees. So I'd say he's probably the second best pitcher on the team. But if you look at the bullpen, just look at the bullpen, I mean. Let's run down the list. I mean, Corey Kluber, who I think had he was the start against Baltimore, he didn't really pitch that well. I mean, Jordan Montgomery, I mean, Jameson Taillon, probably either the second or third best pitcher in that bullpen. And he was having a great season so far, and then now he's having a little bit of a slump, and I get it. Pitchers do that. Everyone has, not even just pitchers, just everyone has a little bit of a slump. But you can't really afford it at this point of the season. And of course, Nestor Cortes Jr. has been having a decent season for the Yankees. But, and then we go, and this is just in the starting rotation, and Jordan Montgomery. But really, the only like two or three guys that stand out in that starting rotation this season are Gerrit Cole, Taillon, Nestor Cortes Jr., and Luis Gil. And for whatever reason, they decided to send them down to, I believe, Triple A. Huge mistake on the management part there. Because while the Yankees were having a bit of a skid, he was absolutely tearing it up in the minors. And then we get to the bullpen. And then we get to the relief pitchers, the closers. You got Chapman, Chad Green, Zach Britton, who's on IL, Jonathan Loizaga. Wow, I almost botched that the first time. I apologize. Jonathan Loizaga, who's on the IL. Wandy Peralta, Darren O'Day, who's not coming back, Clay Holmes, Jolly Rodriguez, and Albert Abreu. And if you're a Yankee fan like me and you've watched the close games, the relief pitching and the closing just hasn't gotten it done. I can't tell you how many times the Yankees have lost games purely based, not on their offense, just purely based on the relief pitching. The amount of times it's happened this season, I mean, it's ridiculous. The amount of leads they've blown over the course of the season is just ridiculous. But again, you know, and then the offense also does come into play. I mean, they've put up a grand, so far in the series against Toronto, they put up a grand total of four runs. The offense has just went dead silent. They got, again, I don't need to run this down. They got shut out in the first game against Toronto. And then they score only one run in the second game, and then three runs. And those, even those three runs, they just came off a home run. There's just like no, there hasn't been any run support for some of the pitchers this season, especially in these last couple of games. And the thing is, Toronto's only getting better. Toronto's only getting better. I think I've said this in a previous episode. It wasn't going to be easy. This division, fighting for a spot in the wild card, and just the division in general, it's not easy. And with Toronto, and with the way Toronto's been playing, it's making it even more difficult for the Yankees to hold on to that wild card spot, especially, of course, when you have Seattle and Oakland right behind you too. So, I don't know, man. The Yankees really need to get it together. Like, this series against Toronto, I usually don't deem any series as must win, but that series against Toronto was a must win. Because now, again, as mentioned before, they're like a game and a half back. And if Toronto wins today, I think they're going to be a half game back. And then, of course, you got a big three-game set with the Mets. Basically, all these series have implications for the Yankees. Every single one of these series has implications for the Yankees. And they need to win, like, all their series. If they want to either hold the second wild card spot or take back the first wild card spot. A lot of things need to go right for the Yankees to hold on to the wild card spot. But again, like credit on Toronto. They've been playing incredibly well, as mentioned before in that lineup. You got guys like Marcus Semien, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette. Like all of those guys have been performing incredibly well. And the bullpen's coming together for them at the right time as well. Again, they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. I never said there was going to be a clear cut. It was going to be a clear cut easy division for the Yankees or an easy wild card. I mean, let's face it, the Rays are taking the division. But I never said it was going to be a clear cut and easy road for the Yankees. It was going to be difficult, and right now, the way they've been playing, they're making it more difficult. Again, and it's a big series with the Mets coming up. Now, whoever gets the bump, I mean, I have no idea who gets the bump for that game because, you know, lineup cards haven't been submitted for that. You know, who has an idea and who's going to pitch? I mean, normally I'd say like Gerrit Cole, but depending on what his injury is, we knew what his injury is. I believe it was, let me just check right quick. Let's see. It was his hamstring. But again, who else in that bullpen? Like, who's going to start? And to be honest, at this point, I think it might end up being Jameson Taillon who starts against the Mets in that first game. I could be wrong, though. But again, like there are a lot of things that need to go right for the Yankees to hold on to that wild card spot. And so far this month, nothing has been going right. Forget this month. The last 2 weeks, nothing has been going right. Or just not even 2 weeks, just the last 10 games. Nothing's been going right for this Yankees team. I mean, the offense has just been an absolute slump. I mean, with what? The exception of the game against the Orioles on September 5th when they lost 8-7. Like, whoop-dee, we got 7 runs. Now the bullpen and the pitching needs to do its job. And frankly, it hasn't done that in the last 2 weeks or in the last, like, 10 games. And speaking of bullpen, let's get into the relief. Let's get into the relief pitching and the closers. I think I've said this before. The Yankees need to get more arms in that relief bullpen Because let's face it, Aroldis Chapman, I don't know how to put it, but he's been struggling. He's been struggling. Anyone who watched that Yankees-Braves game, I believe that was when where the Yankees ended up stealing. And I say steal because they stole that game from Atlanta, basically. When they ended up winning 5-4, barely. So they barely won. He basically got let the Braves get the bases loaded. And I'm not going to lie, watching him try to close out games has been stressful this season. And then, of course, Chad Green, like, obvious something needs to be done for the relief pitchers and the closers. Something needs to be done. Because the way the relief pitchers have been performing, I don't know. I don't think that'll get it done in the playoffs. I really don't. And again, that's if the Yankees make the playoffs. Because again, all the teams I mentioned before, Toronto is on their tail, Seattle's on their tail, Oakland's on their tail, and you know, I don't know. It's just incredibly stressful right now as a Yankees fan. I mean, it really is. But again, I'm still trying to hold on the hope that the Yankees are able to at least win today against Toronto, and then going to Citi Field and take the series against the Mets. That would be great, but I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. So I don't know how else to put it. It's just been an absolute struggle in the last 10 games. Again, like I said, it reminds me of the first half of Yankees where they really couldn't get anything going, where they started off the season like 5-10, and basically were bouncing between fourth and third place for the majority of the first half of the season, while the Red Sox and Rays were on an absolute tear. But again, I mean, I didn't really want to have to make, I'm going to be honest, I really did not want to have to make another episode. I thought I was done after that last episode going over the Yankee struggles, but I figured I'd have to. This last stretch of games kind of forced me to make this episode. But yeah, but let's go in the baseball. Let's go in the more in the baseball. Let's go to the standings. Let's just look at the standings so far. I mean, obviously the Rays are just running away with it. I mean, they're 9 games up on the Red Sox, 9.5 games up on the Yankees. I mean, I feel, and let's just see who are the Rays playing through the. Actually, the Rays got an interesting schedule ahead of them. They got the Tigers. They got the Blue Jays. They got the Tigers again. Then they play the Blue Jays one more time. And then the Marlins. Then they play the Astros. And then they play the Yankees one more time before the season closes. Right now, it's looking like the Rays are going to win the division. Who knows? Things could probably change. But either way, AL Central update, White Sox are just running away with it. 80 wins, 59 losses. That's probably the largest margin that any team's winning their respective division by. They're up 11 games on the Indians, 15 on the Tigers, 18 on the Twins, and 18 on the Royals. So they're the clear-cut AL Central winners. I think that's one of the divisions that's truly clear-cut. I could be wrong, but I don't know. And then let's hop on over to the NL Central. Actually, yeah, the NL Central too. Brewers are running away with it at this point. Up 12 games on the Reds. The Cardinals are 14 and a half games behind. The Cubs are 21 games back. But let's be honest, the way the Cubs have been playing this season, they weren't making the playoffs. And of course, the Pirates, 35 and a half games. Jesus. But and then we got the NL West, which the Giants, which, by the way, that reminds me, I'm glad we got to the NL West. The Giants are the first team to 90 wins this season. 90 wins and 50 losses. 90 wins. First team to 90 wins. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think a lot of people had the Giants leading the NL West or even making the playoffs this season. I mean, scroll through Twitter, go through Instagram. I'm sure you'll find a lot of people making opinions that, oh, the Giants are going to come back down to earth. You know, they'll have a good winning streak and then they'll fall off. They haven't. They have not fallen off a cliff. They just keep it rolling. They have kept it rolling all season long. But again, they're going to have to fight off the Dodgers. They're only two games back. Only two games back. That's going to be a tough challenge, the defending World Series champions. And then the NL East, that's also getting tight. The Phillies are 2.5 games back of the Braves. That's going to be interesting. And the Braves are 4-6 in their last 10. The Mets are starting to heat up again. 7-3 in their last 10. They're a dead even 500 record, but they're only four games back. There's still plenty of baseball left. So it'll be interesting. But let's just go through a few. Speaking of just baseball games in general, there was anyone who's a Red Sox fan that listens to this podcast, or anyone who watched the Rays, or not even the Red Sox, just a fan of the Rays or Red Sox, because those two played last night. Hunter Renfro, can we just address like how Hunter Renfro just took over that game? They were down 1-0, I think, in the bottom of the eighth to the Rays. It was a one-run game, and then Renfro just absolutely crushes one in the clutch, gives the Red Sox the lead, and then at the end of the game, I think Joey Wendell for the Rays hit a double, and Hunter Renfro just makes an absurd save, or not an absurd save, an absurd throw to get Wendell out, tagging for third. I mean, that was, and it looked like he was going to get a triple. I mean, the center fielder misplayed it, and it looked like it was going to be a triple. It looked like the Rays were set up in prime position to tie the game. And Renfro just said, not on my watch. I mean, got to give him credit. That was one hell of a throw. And well, let's face it, Renfro has been one of the best players for the Red Sox this season. I mean, and it's clearly, and it's becoming more and more clear. I mean, The guy's just been hitting home runs, been making huge defensive plays as of late, consistently throwing out people that try to run or try to steal base, more specifically, or try to tag up. Well, yeah, run, steal base, try to get to home, try to steal a run or two. Yeah, he's just been performing at an absurd rate this season, and got to give him credit. He's been having one hell of a year. But, yeah. So, that basically... Actually, no. That doesn't wrap up what we have to talk about. I forgot. We got to talk about Cooperstown as well. I'll get to that in a little bit. But, yeah. It's been a wild last couple of weeks of baseball. And, again, it's only going to get even more... It's only going to get more chaotic with the last couple of weeks upon us, less than a month to go. Postseason, it's the postseason push. Time to see who clinches their spot at this point. But let's, as I mentioned before, we got to talk about Cooperstown. Yesterday, legendary day at Cooperstown. I'm sure there were, any of my viewers or any of my listeners. I'm sure you paid attention to the ceremony. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker officially got inducted into Cooperstown. What a moment. I mean, what a moment. Being a Yankees fan myself, Derek Jeter played a huge role in my childhood. I mean, he was one of my favorite players on the Yankees growing up. I mean, alongside with Mariano Rivera, Hideki Matsui, Bernie Williams, Andy Pettitte. He was one of my I can't tell you how many shirts, Derek Jeter shirts or jerseys I've had over the years. Like I really can't. I've had at least like five or six. Like not even like shirts with his name and number on the back, just like Derek Jeter like shirts. Hell, I have a framed picture with some of the Yankees from the 2009 winning World Series team. And Jeter's at the forefront of it, of course, with Hideki Matsui, Alex Rodriguez, and Johnny Damon. So, but yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable ceremony. It was so fun to watch. I mean, it gave me goosebumps. I'm not gonna lie, it gave me goosebumps. It really did. It was such a fun ceremony to watch. And then, of course, Larry Walker. I mean, needless to say, I mean, look at his resume as well. Five-time All-Star, National League MVP in 97, seven-time Gold Glove Award winner, three-time Silver Slugger Award winner, and three-time MLB batting champion. I mean, unreal. And of course, Jeter's resume, 14-time All-Star, five-time World Series champion, World Series MVP, AL Rookie of the Year, five-time Gold Glove winner, and a five-time Silver Slugger winner. I mean, just what a ceremony. And any of you who watched the ceremony, watched his opening remarks, he said thank you to the baseball writers, all but one of you that didn't vote for me. And that was funny because anyone who was paying attention early in the year when he got the call to the Hall, he was one vote away from being a unanimous Hall of Famer. And as we all know, the last unanimous Hall of Famer and the first one at that was Mariano Rivera. But it was pretty funny, I'm not gonna lie. It was pretty funny that he said that. I got a couple of good laughs in there. But the speeches were unreal. The speeches from both guys were unreal. Both had legendary careers, and I'm glad. And as we know, I believe the ceremony got postponed last year. It was originally supposed to be last year, but COVID-19, COVID cases rising, that basically put that to a halt. But I'm glad to have seen that. Glad to be able to watch that live. And the thing is, I probably could have went to the ceremony, in all honesty. I don't live that far from Cooperstown. It honestly would have been worth the drive to go out and see that game. But or not the game, the induction. It would have been great to see the whole ceremony all together. And again, like I said, I don't live that far from Cooperstown, so I wouldn't mind making that drive. But I don't know. Once their ceremony got postponed in 2020, I didn't really think about it too much after that, about going to it. But I really regret not going out there to see it. I really do. But Again, congrats to Derek Jeter and Larry Walker. Your class of 2020 for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And that being said, usually I have more to talk about, but I really kind of just got everything out of the way, except football. I mean, I'll talk about football for a bit. Football season's back. And you know what that means? Fantasy football season's back. Obviously, I'm going to be playing. I mean, I'm in a league right now. It's funny, I actually drafted my team the other night. I think I have a decent team. I think I have a decent team. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not the best at fantasy football or just any fantasy sports for that matter. But either this season could go very well for me, or it could go awful, or it could just fall off a cliff. But again, Sunday, September 12th, Giants football is back. Oh my God. You have no idea how much I've been looking forward to that, to hearing just not even just Giants football, just football is back in general. And of course, and then not so long after that, hockey's going to be back. The NBA is going to be back. So I'll be able to start covering more sports. I'll be able to cover across those leagues more than I was in the last, than I've been able to in the last couple of months. But, you know, all I'm saying is for all my fellow New York Giants fans, Sunday, September 12th, at 4:30, Broncos Giants, first game of the season. I'm hyped for it. Let's see what the schedule is for the first week of games. We should have a good first week of games. Oh man! Oh wait a minute! Today is the first game of the season. Week one. Cowboys versus the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm going to be on that. I am going to be watching that. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to be watching every game, every single NFL game, basically all season. Obviously, I'm going to be paying attention to the Giants more because, again, I'm a Giants fan. But, oh, baby. Oh, baby. Buckle up. Another season of football coming. And then what else? So this is the week one schedule. So again, I said Cowboys, Buccaneers. Then we got the Seahawks, Colts, Jaguars, and Texans. We'll see the debut of Trevor Lawrence. The Eagles and Falcons. Chargers and the Washington football team. Steelers and Bills. That's going to be a good game. 49ers and Lions. Vikings, Bengals. Jets, Panthers. Cardinals, Titans. Browns and Chiefs. That should be a good one. Dolphins and Patriots. We'll see the debut of Mac Jones. Then the Broncos and Giants, the Packers and Saints, Bears and Rams, and the Ravens and Raiders. So we got a great week of football ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen. And with that being said, that's it for me. I ranted about the Yankees' recent struggles. I got to talk about the Hall of Fame inductions for the MLB. And, basically got to overview football as the first week kicks off. So, with that being said, I'll catch you guys all in the next episode. And peace out.